Okay, we're talking about how to keep a continuous connection to Hashem through tefillah. And I believe we're on page Samach Zayin, is that correct?
Yeah.
Tefillah I'll call Prat Uprat Nechayim. We're going to now get to prayers on every detail of life. Hiskarnu es ha-tefillah ha-kodemes le-tefillah, ha-tefillah ha-kodemes le-limud, ve-sa-tefillah she-besoch ha-limud. We've already mentioned the kind of prayer we do before prayer, the kind of prayer we do before learning, the kind of prayer we do in the middle of learning. Kol elu hem rak tziunei derech. They are only markers along the way. They're directions. Ve'esh laham shich ba'oso kivano. We want to continue going in that direction. Lispalel ulavakesh al kol prat uprat b'chaim. To daven and to ask for things on every detail of life. And that's what he's going to do for the rest of the chapter. Go through different scenarios where you may not have thought it something worthy of praying for. And he's going to show you how it's worthy of praying. Okay. This one he's already kind of hinted to. Lifnei sha'adam misyashiv lecho. Before a person sits down to eat. Yispalim osa tefillah pshuta. You should start with such a tefillah. This morning's breakfast should be as follows. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, ani rotza lechol kedei sheyeh li koach lavod oscha. I want to eat so that I will have the power to serve you. Now zu hakavona hapshuta muveres b'shulchan aruch. This is the simple understanding that one should have, as explained in the Shulchan Aruch. But now let's go a little bit further. Mevakesh ani mimcha, I want from you, I'm asking from you, if this food is not fitting for me to eat, be it not healthy, it's, let's say the meat's been lying out a little too long and it's already going to make me sick, if for whatever reason it's not kosher, or maybe good old-fashioned nash, right? It's not fit for me, shani lo ochel oso, that I shouldn't eat it. Remember, you know, you get food in front of you, and sometimes you just don't eat it. It happens. Sometimes you don't eat it. You're not hungry. Get a phone call, an urgent phone call. You got to get away from you got to go away, and somebody else eats it, whatever. But if it's not really in my best interest to eat this, make sure that I don't eat it. Imuroi, and if it is in my best interest to eat it, it's fitting, it's proper. Tein b'maychel es hakoach. Put in the food the ability to give me strength to do your service. Right? When you're looking at those peas and you're looking at that place, whatever the meal is in front of you, looking at that food, you say, please make sure that food gives me the energy I need. Now he explains. Hare kama anoshim achlu macholim shonim. There's different people who eat different foods. Some foods don't make you strong. The opposite. It can cause all kinds of damages in the body. We all know that there's wondrous things, so many wondrous things involved in the digestive system. And just because yesterday the food got to the right place and everything was good old yesterday, there's no obligation that it means, no guarantee that everything's going to go the right way tonight. You know, everything, all the food is a little different today. Your stomach may be a little bit different. You know, sometimes you eat certain, you know, we had in the house a couple of weeks ago, there was a chicken that, for lunch, that was a little debate if it was off or not. So of course the women make the final decision. And, there were three women there, it was a bezdin to decide if it was or not. And they paskined it was okay. So that night, Chaya's stomach was killing her. My stomach was, you know, was not that bad. No, I was able to go through the night. Like, she was finished. The next day, she was finished. She was in bed the whole day. And me, okay, I was queasy the whole day. But I went through the day. I had one piece of chicken. I had one piece of chicken. Larry Garber had four. No problem. I said the next day, Larry, I met him, I think, Monday. I said, Larry, how were you yesterday? He says, what do you mean? I said, you know, you had four pieces of chicken. And fine, no problem. So what do you see? We ate the same chicken. You know, his piece of chicken maybe weren't tainted, whatever you want to say. And mine was, maybe mine was more, mine was less, Chai's was worse. Maybe her stomach interacted different. Maybe Larry has a cast iron stomach. I don't know the combinations. But that's what you have to daven for. We have to daven for when you're eating the food, that just because everything worked out so well for a week doesn't mean to say that it's guaranteed it's going to work out today. So therefore, that's what you have to be mispalel for, that the food really does the trick the way it's meant to do. Now, what you gain by this, see, that's on a, and the truth is he's really only dealing on the simplest of levels over here. He's not going much deeper that you can go with food, as we've said from the Balatanya, that the deeper aspect of food is to unify the entire universe in your Avodas Hashem. And when you take a, when you're eating a piece of meat, for example, you unify the entire universe when you eat this piece of meat. If you have nothing to think about and you want to read cereal boxes, you know, or whatever, the newspaper, there's better things to think about when you're eating, right? And while you're chewing, you say, Mamish, I'm unifying all the elements of creation, right? There's four elements of creation: inanimate, plant, animal, human. And then, of course, there's a fifth level, the Jew, which is beyond the human, right? So five elements. So usually those elements, they all go in their own directions. But the world doesn't seem to have a unified direction of where it goes. Everything just goes. You know, the grass grows, the rain falls, the cow moves, the Italian bus truck driver just takes stuff wherever he's told to take it. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason in this planet. Right, it's the Jew who's supposed to unify the planet and focus it all in his Avodas Hashem. So when you're eating that piece of hamburger, you know, a mundane Wednesday night, which just quote unquote just hamburger, right? So when you're taking a bite out of the hamburger, you have to realize, you know, what this is accomplishing in the world. You have to realize that this has been set up for you months in advance. Things have been in preparation months in advance. You know, really, even at creation, you're right, at the initial creation, but on a simpler level. So this past, whatever, I don't know the timing, I could be wrong on the timing, but you figure, sometime a couple months ago, there was this grass growing. And of course, the sun was shining and the rain was falling. Was interacting with the minerals and the seeds and whatever, and nice grass was growing. That's one part of the world, right? Two parts of the world, really: plant and mineral. And then Bessie the cow starts fressing on some grass, right? And then comes a nice Jewish man and slaughters the cow, right? And koshers it. You know, and then they take it to the, you know, to the meat, whatever, to the schlacht place, whatever. They cut it up, put it in a piece, and then the Italian truck driver comes and they put all the meat in the truck, right? And he drives it on the highway that was paved by a bunch of non-Jews, right? He stops off at Joe's Diner on the 401, and he eats some chazer, so he has the strength to continue driving that truck. Etc., etc., till he gets it into Sobeys, and all that's involved in there. Anyway, when you're making the bracha, Shakol Niebid Varo, that everything exists by his words, boy, does everything exist by his word. The rain and the wind and the sun and the earth and the minerals and the grass and the cow and the shaychet and Joe the truck driver and the pig that he ate. All of that all comes to one neat package. When you say the word Shakolniya before, and you have now taken the entire world and given it all purpose for this. Now you're at this stage that I should have the koyach to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So now everything that happened until it got to my plate now has a purpose. And that is the real definition of tikkun olam. You have now corrected the world. The world now has achieved a purpose. If chas v'shalom, on the other hand, you don't make a bracha, and it's your seventh helping of hamburger, and your stomach, the waste, is expanding as you ingest each one. So what did you do? You took the entire world and unified it for your belly. That's what you did with the whole world, which is a destruction of the world. You destroyed the world. You didn't correct the world. Right? So that's all riding on how you eat the meal. That's mamish. It's all riding how you eat the meal. So these are the thoughts one can have. So there's what to be mispalel for. You know, I would even add to the prayer. You know, you should be mispalel that you should eat it for the right reason. That you should be chewing on it for the right reason. You should have the right machshavas for the right, you know, it's like a prayer before the prayer again. It's like, Imam Shadavling, Hashem, I should eat this with the right kavon. I should stay focused that while I'm eating this, I'm understanding what I'm doing. And that's on the deeper level, how to do this. And of course, you know, the simpler aspects, that the food shouldn't hurt me, the food shouldn't harm me. Of course, it's all true. It's all true. See, now when you do this, continuing inside, two paragraphs on the bottom, kach, in such a way, b'oifen zeh, this way, hu kosher es atzmo, he ties himself, heim b'limin atar shlo, regardless if it's when he learns Torah, heim b'tfilas, or regardless if he's davening, v'heim b'achilas, and even when he's eating, he's tying himself, l'ribayin shloim, to the Almighty, hu lo menatmis, misnaseh mimenu b'meshach hayom. He doesn't get disconnected from Hashem during the day. Let's move on. Magia ha'es lishkav lishon. It comes the time to go to sleep. Vadekol echad omer kriya shma lamita. Everybody's certainly going to say kriya shma lamita. That's a wonderful thing. Avol mahu choshev b'shashu olech lishon. But what's he thinking about when he's going to sleep? So what did you think about last night? What did I think about? Sure, yeah, boy, was I tired going up those steps. When I went up those steps on Monday morning, right? What do you think about Shuhua Yev? You're tired, right? You're tired. Shein lokach, you don't have any strength. You barely make it into bed. I'm going to hit the pillow and fall right asleep. Samaches. That's all right. But, Olav Latzoras Atzmo Rega Echad Lifnei Amiris Kirsha, you got to stop yourself a minute before you say the Kirishma. Lifnos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to turn to Hashem V'lemel and say the following tefila. Ribbayin Yishalaylam, Almighty Master of the Universe. Baras Adam, He created the man and with a guf unasham, with a body and a soul. Haguf Shibarasa, the body that you created. Baras Sobit Surashut Sarich Mechu, you created it that it needs to get rest. That's the way you made it. Sani shochev lishon, I am going to sleep. Kikach ritzoncha shesa, because that's your will that I should do this. It's your will that I should go to sleep. Mevakesh adi mimcha, I ask from you, she'eska lishon betzur nechon avatov, that I should merit to sleep in a proper way. Ragua vishalav. Resting, tranquility, a good night's sleep. And I should wake up the next day refreshed and ready to go. With renewed vigor and renewed strength to jump out of bed and serve you. That's how you have to be mispal to Hashem. Why? Because everybody knows. Some, I don't know who's talking about. Somebody could sleep on a bed 8 or 10 hours. He wakes up more tired than when he went to bed. You have this, especially on vacation. So somehow, I don't know, some reason. There's a medical reason for that. You know, till your metabolism gets used to resting. Sometimes, don't you never notice it? Someone says, it's not logical sometimes. Go to bed on 3 hours of sleep and you're raring to go the next day. Get 8 hours of sleep, you're exhausted. You get up in the morning. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that way. But, you know, how do you explain it? One day you get up, you feel like $1 million. The other day you get up, you're pulling yourself out of bed. So, how is it? Elama, what do you have to say? Kishonon komba boker, fachash ayefa. So, what happens when you get up in the morning and you're feeling tired and get up in the morning? who maftir banocha, you kind of dispense with it, you know, with a sigh, you know, you kind of end off the sleep with a kvetch. Mela, it's not that bad. Umam shechol, and you just go further. You don't even stop and think what the getting up is all about. Avol zulo derech hanachon, that's not the right way. Vadeshim hulo, you say, what bad luck. I didn't have good luck last night. I didn't sleep. What can you do? No, vadeshim hulo yashon tov alayla, if he didn't sleep well at night. Alav lahaker behakara brusha kol nase de'aboris brach b'diuknoi. Okay, I know this is all designed by Hashem with a very specific reasoning. Ulakavlas ayesurim ba'avin. You got to realize these are yesurim. These are pains. These are afflictions. And we know in any afflictions, you're obliged to accept afflictions with love. Right? You got to realize there's something the matter. Hashem's not happy with something, or he's trying to correct something, or whatever. It's not supposed to be that way. You should get up fresh, assuming you've slept 8 to 10 hours. If you only slept 2 hours and you're tired, there's a real reason for that. You don't have to say Hashem is, you're saying, I'm doing my avodah that way, and that's all. Okay, you got to ask a shaila. Not everybody should do this.
When did you ever sleep 8 hours? I never heard that you sleep 8 hours.
Friday night, I slept 8 hours.
Okay, so the rest of the week you're walking and you're not feeling great.
I didn't say that.
So then you're managing to feel great on less than 8 hours.
I didn't say that either. sometimes you just have to push how you're feeling aside, and you're looking at other things. You just push on, you just jump out, and that's it. You get going. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's different. You have to consult your LOR and LOD. Local Orthodox rabbi, local Orthodox doctor. Okay? So you have to know what you need. But clearly, if you go to bed and you're getting 8 hours and you're waking up and you're feeling lousy, then that's for sure yesurim. There's no reason you should feel lousy when you're sleeping 8 hours, unless you're sick. If you're not, like, why didn't you get a good night's sleep? And you have people who have trouble sleeping at night. There's all kinds of, you can wake up with your heart racing, because you've had a crazy dream and you didn't get a lot of, so I don't know exactly how it works. Sometimes you have these crazy dreams, you were running. And you really are exhausted when you wake up from such a dream sometimes. It's like unbelievable. So that's not a nice way to sleep. It's not a good way to sleep. You have this, I don't know, you have this, once long ago I had this tikkufa. Every time I got up, I was just so tired. I was momish tired every day. It was terrible. So you go through these periods of time. The other time you just get up and everything's fine, everything's good. You don't even think about it, it works so well. Or how about some people, they put their head in the pillow, they fall asleep right away. Other people, they can't sleep. Baruch Hashem, I have no problems. For the few hours, it's like not a problem. At once, a couple months ago, I couldn't sleep. I said, this is crazy. It's not supposed to be. When I put my head on the pillow, I'm supposed to sleep. So after 15 minutes, I don't know what to do. So what I do, I went downstairs, I started learning for about an hour. Then I got tired and went back to sleep. It's always, whenever you wake up in the middle of the night, you have trouble, so tell me, just start learning. The Yetzirah will make sure you'll fall asleep. It's never a problem. Learn something really hard. And it's like a gem. So the point is, if you're getting up and you're not feeling refreshed, Hashem is sending you a message, whatever it is, but you gotta be aware of it. So now what are you supposed to do? Achaderech anechayne v'yasher, but the proper path is, shelifnei ha'adam nichnas lishkavishim, before you go to bed, yidaber ma'boyrin yisparach shmo v'yavakish menu. When you go to sleep, you ask, continuing to what we said above in what the prayer is, and you say, Rabbeinu Shalom, Mevakesh Anisha Eska La'arva Shinoscha. Hashem, I ask of you, I beg of you, to give me a pleasant sleep. Make my sleep a restful sleep. Lo kedei she'ali no'im v'noach, not that my life should be comfortable. Ela kedei she'uchel mocher letafked. So I'm able tomorrow to do the job that's fit for the service of you. For your service, it warrants a person who's wide awake, ready to go, with vim and vigor. And I want to have all that strength to be able to serve you in that way. And there's a lot more to that. You know, a lot of that depending on who the person you are, and everything is very personal over here. That's why everyone's prayer is a little bit different than the other guy's prayer. But there's the biggest Yetzer Hara of all, is not to go to sleep on time. And to do things that are counterproductive to the sleeping process. You know, if you're the person who needs 8 hours of sleep, that's the kind of, and there's nothing wrong with needing 8 hours of sleep. That's why Hashem created you with that. He's created us all with certain handicaps. Some of us have a temper, some of us are not organized, and some of us have to sleep 8 hours. It's a handicap, but no, there's nothing to feel bad. Everyone's got a handicap. There's some people, the film Nagon could go on 2 hours. So he was mamish extremely advanced. And some people, they need 8 hours. So you don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to feel, you have to do tshuva on it. That's one thing that's good. If you have a temper, you have to do tshuva on it. If you're lazy, you have to tshuva. If you need 8 hours, you don't have to do any tshuva. You don't have to do any tshuva. That's what Hashem made you. Hashem made you. So you can't have any tainus. Right? So, but if that's what Hashem made you, then you have to make sure to sleep 8 hours. You have to go to sleep early. You have to go to sleep early. Naps is not such a great thing. You go to sleep early. But what happens? So I'm not saying if you have to go to sleep late, the baby's crying, somebody has to take care of the baby. So okay, it's mamish yisurim shalava. It's sufferings of love. Okay? But otherwise, and this is a big problem in yeshiva. Yeshiva is such a massive problem. Bachum would learn a whole day. And then they come home to the dormitory at 11 o'clock. You know, so they didn't get a chance to schmooze. You know, you're working; it's a hard day's work, learning. You know, so you're supposed to go to bed, right? So what do? The guys don't hang out the hallway, start to schmooze. You know, it's not unnatural to schmooze. You want to schmooze with your friends. You know, a lot of guys would, you know, get on the phone and call home long distance, and well, there were a lot of out of town bachurim, and they talk to their parents, fine, and then they get off the phone, and then you know, guys wait and they schmooze, and they could schmooze till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And then, of course, they didn't come to davening the next day. And they got up at 9 o'clock. And they davened in the dorm, whatever. So the Rosh Hashivas would say, you know, you have such a big Yetzer Hara to not go to sleep. It's a Yetzer Hara to not go to sleep. Yetzer Hara knows that if he can get you to shmooze, you won't be there for davening the next day or whatever. So of course, So you have to mamish know that when you get to the dorm, you know, you got to get yourself into bed. That's it. Get yourself into bed. So that Yetzer Hara grows when you become an adult in different forms. You know, and again, like one of the worst challenges that tests is the internet, man. You know, you can get on there and, you know, you don't realize how much time. Even if you're going on kosher sites, which is such a challenge now. But even if, you know, it's interesting things to see. It's, you know, this whole YouTube is like supposed to be like amazing. Like everyone's saying, like, somebody was showing me. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like nothing wrong. It's just a waste of time. Somebody showed me this amazing. You have to see that, and they can click it on and show it to you now. You know, you can send it to people. So I figure if they're gonna send it to me, it's not gonna be something rated X. So I gotta say. So a lot of times I just don't even look at it, but sometimes you have to. People's going to be insulted. So they show me this, these guys taking a bunch of Diet Cokes.
Oh, the Mentos.
And dropping Mentos. Mentos is like a candy, sugar candy. Chewy, you know, they have kosher Mentos. If you have kids and you buy Shabbos treats, you know what Mentos are. It's like a candy, a little candy, circle candy. And somehow the chemical reaction between Mentos and Diet Coke creates such a reaction that the pop shoots out of the bottles. Like crazy. So they're doing like what would have to look like a waterfall exhibition with like a million of these bottles. It's like the genius that has to be involved in doing this. I figured there's going to be good drush coming out of this one day. If I could just figure out how to... You know, because you know, and it's like it's going, and then they're lining up the bottles at angles, and it's like, you know, like these water shows. So they're making a gavaltic water show out of this thing, and the Mentos and Coke, and they're making it swivel, and you know, like, you know, like a wave. I'm saying, Mama, crying. Like the guy who's sending me is like, what are you doing? Your hope? This is what, and they can do this for hours. And this was like an 8 minute clip. After 2 minutes, I shut it off. I said, it's enough. I got the idea. And I could watch it. Wow. Like, So I'm saying, like, and now this is like, you know, you can do this for hours. You know, there must be like a million of these things. So when are you going to do this? Okay, some people do it at work. They're not supposed to do it at work, but whatever it says. So all these things are I got a friend, and he's always sending me a million articles. Like, as one friend, he helps the shul, so I have to, you know, I have to be nice to him. You know, it's a hard understanding how to have a relationship via email. You know, there must be some rules on etiquette, how to deal with all these obnoxious attachments and these articles and must read. You know? And this guy, like, I love him. He's a great guy. And he must be a voracious reader. But, like, he sends me an article that's 90 pages, must read. Like, he's sending me, like, okay, like, so whenever there's, like, an article that shows more blatant anti-Semitism, you know, like, there's no chiddush, there's no insight in goyim hating us. It's like, ooh, look at this article, like, and it shows you, like, the latest stupidity of the world showing how terrible Israel is. You know, like, I don't want to read them anymore. I know the world hates us. I know there's a double standard. So, las mechop, I don't need to, and it's like always another, now it's really bad, you know. And this is worse. You know, like, look at this whole article, you know, Israel made the fence and it's apartheid. Well, 28 other countries have a fence too, and it's not apartheid. Where's the justice? You know, it's like 4-page articles, 5-page articles. It's like, so I'm saying to myself, what is this guy doing all day long? What is he doing all day long? You know, he said to me, and so I kind of like politely said, you know, boy, I'm not as fast as a reader as you. I didn't do so good in school with reading. It takes me a long time to read a page of email. You'll be Michael me, please, if I can't read every article that you send. And I, you know, so he said, "Yo, I understand, Rabbi." So now, like, I have a rule: like every 10 that he sends me, if it's a real short one, I'll read a couple lines and then I'll respond to it. So that's how I kind of am yoitzes on it. But it must be people are, you know, and I tell other people, like, I try to certain other people, I say, stop looking at the things they send you. Some people say, I don't have any time. I go through my computer text machine. I say, just delete. But it sounds delete. If it's not a business-orientated article or something that's important, delete. And don't even... But it looks like, delete it. Sometimes I'll go into one of my kids' computer. I'll just start deleting it without them knowing, because it's just a waste of their time. So the problem is, a lot of this happens at night. And you should go to bed at 10 o'clock. Go to bed at 11 o'clock. Just go to bed. There's nothing real... You know, you want to learn, go learn. But even learning, sometimes the Yetzer Hara for learning. Okay, it's a Dvar Torah from the internet. Forget about the Dvar Torahs from the internet. You know, if you're a person who can get up at 6:15 and learn, this is the real learning. I'm not against internet Dvar Torahs for people who aren't yet at the level to set aside time for Torah. And I'm not against, you want to run off a few and look at them on Shabbos when you have some free time, fine. You know, you're gonna, you know, do it. You know, you're going to get the 1 minute inspiration on Shmiras HaLashon. Okay, you want to remember every day for a minute not to talk Lashon Hara. That's fine. You know, but these guys are looking all around for Dvar Torahs here, Dvar Torah. This sounds interesting. That's a dabbling, you know, going through the buffet of internet Dvar Torahs and going through the smorgasbord of Dvar Torahs, but they're never going to the main dish. The main dish is sitting in, you want to download an hour shear, listen to an hour shear. That's the main dish. That's the main dish. You know, that's a main dish. Go through a safer. This is the main dish. You know, that's it. But, you know, a little bit here. Oh, this was interesting. This sounds interesting. This was interesting. And that was interesting. A bunch of interesting things, but you're not, but at the end of the day, what's Hashem going to ask you after 120 years? How many internet Dvar Torahs you read? He's going to say, yeah, how much years Hashem did you get? How many Masechtas Gemara? How much Rambam did you do? That's what he's going to ask you. How much did you feel that you're living with me in your life? That's what he's going to ask. So those are the things you have to gear the learning to. So people are going to bed way too late. They're wasting their time and going to bed too late. So part of this is dealing with the Yetzer, just to note, or worse, Rafal, right? When people are, you know, sitting around and she was gnashing, you know, starting noshing at 11 o'clock, you know, while looking at an internet Dvar Torah, you know, it's like, it's the double barrel. It's like it's killing you on both ends. And then you're going to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, then you're exhausted. I mean, I know what's out. It's got to be out there. It's just got to be. It's such a deadly combination. And the Yetzer Hara tells you it's a mitzvah. It's, you know, if I eat, I'll have it. I had a period of this, you know, where I said, you know, I'm tired. How can I stay up more? I have to prepare a class. I have to eat something. It never was productive until I reversed it. The reverse is when you're tired, go to sleep no matter what the time is. Just make sure to get up early the next morning. 3 o'clock in the morning is a great time to get up, because when you're up, I am at least, I'm awake and nobody calls me, nobody emails me, and I get 3 hours of solid learning done. You know, so that's not the trick when you go to bed. The trick is when you get up. I had Matzah Shabbos. Every Shabbos, I'm so tired by the time. So it was like 11 o'clock, and I know I had to prepare the Mishnah Berurah class. And I had an unveiling I had to do the next morning. Yes, it was such a busy day, and I said, I've got so much more to do. And it's like 12 o'clock. I said, I'm looking at this Mishnah Berurah, and I'm looking at it, and it's like the words are dancing on the page. And I said, take a drink of water. I said, this is Gatenish, this is Gatenish. I just went to bed, that's it. And I davened Hashem, you got to get me up early in the morning because I got a lot to prepare. So he answered my tefillin, and I got up earlier in the morning on a Sunday morning. That's how you have to do it. You got to listen to your body. Your body says you're tired. You go to sleep. Finished. And don't eat another chocolate cake to get the energy to stay up and this and that. That's not the way Hashem, the body sends you the right signals. Just go to sleep. Finished. And you're tired, you go to sleep, and then you're able to get up properly the next morning. It's all part of the tefillah. It's how the tefillah interacts. See, if you're just going to dive in the tefillah, you're missing the point. The tefillah is supposed to interact and force you to change the way you're living. If you dive in Hashem, you should have a good night's sleep. How can you expect to have a good night's sleep if you're staying up later than you should be staying up? It's not fitting to what you're praying for. If you're praying for it and you mean it, you want to get up properly, and you have to make sure you're going to bed for what your system needs. If your system needs 8 hours of sleep, part of your avodas Hashem is to make sure that you're getting that 8 hours of sleep, and that includes still going to davening. So if you need to sleep 8 hours, you have to be at davening at 7 o'clock, and you have to be up at 6:30. That means you have to go to bed at 10:30. Place closed. That's your avodas Hashem, and that's all. I'm not getting everything done. So you're not getting everything done. That's all. It's not meant to get done, and you have to leave something for the next.
Stay up once a week for 5 hours or 6 hours and do basically his meditation.
Okay, if you're on that level, if you're not on that level, you can't do it. Howard, if when you're ready for that level, then sleep's not the issue anymore. We're not on that level. I'm not really saying we're ready to do that right now. I don't think we're ready to do that right now. So don't worry about that, Howard. Don't use that as to defer the issue at hand. To deflect the issue at hand. The issue at hand is to make sure you get enough sleep. So you got to ask a shiloh. Like I said, you ask your doctor, you ask your rabbi, and you come to a conclusion. But you have to be able to realize that it's not that lo lecha malacha limor. It's not for you to finish the job. That's why I have to always tell my wife. I have to beg my wife. You don't have to get it done today. And she's just she can. So we're different personalities. She can be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then she's complaining to me. I'm getting old. I'm getting old. I don't have the koyach. Yeah, you're going to bed at 3. You're getting up at 7 to get things around. And she's worried. She's not healthy. I said, you know what? You're not 23 anymore. It's just, you know, and you want to have the schedule of a 23-year-old. You know, you can't do it anymore. You have to learn to go to sleep. That's all. And you have to know when to go to sleep. And I think if you go to sleep when you're tired and get up earlier, it works better. Okay, everyone's different. That's why you have to ask a shot to know exactly what you need to do. Yeah.
I didn't hear. Does that include a prayer for, like, restful dreams or dreams that you...
Yeah, he's just giving you an example. You know, yeah, you shouldn't have nightmares. That's part of... That's why you say the bedtime Shema. There's the bedtime Shema has enough things, too. But remember, the bedtime Shema can become robotic. You just rattle it off. You know, you get used to it. So you got to sit and just say, no, I need to have a restful sleep. I want to be able to fulfill your avodas Hashem. And mamele, it's going to force you to sleep on time. Okay, we're not done. There's more. Kshiras kol mahalach hachayim v'rbayin shalaylam. Tying the whole path of life to Hashem. Right? That's what he called in the last Sefer, the world of prayer. That's, you understand? This is the world of prayer. You see how we've tried to take all the fundamental things and show how you can tie them to Hashem through prayer. But it's really meant for every single detail. What do you think that means? Even those that are the exceptions to the rule. You come across odd situations. This has been daily situations. Every day you learn, every day you daven, every day you sleep, every day you eat. But there's some things that are not everyday questions. Like, you gotta go to a wedding. Supposed to do any thinking before you go to the wedding? I know, the guys are thinking, my wife's making me late. The wife's thinking she can maybe make another shidduch call before she goes to the wedding, because weddings remind her of shidduchim, so I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to make a shidduch, and the husband's saying, you're married, we're late, this and that. But that's not what you're supposed to think. Just for a moment, before you get in the car to go to the wedding. Who else is atzma li ad mezuzah? You stop by the mezuzah. Mezuzah is a good place to do a stop always. You're supposed to do that. The real halacha, right? Kiss the mezuzah before you go out also, right? Everybody's going in, you got to do going out too. See, so kiss the mezuzah. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokei Hashem Echad, it's a mass universe that shows that he created the world, he maintains the world, he supervises the world. That's all in the Shema, right? Okay, I got that. So now, what does he want me to do? Rabbeinu Shalaylam, who pain al bar betvil, you turn to Hashem for a prayer and you say, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, mass universe, hayetzia lemakomas eila, heim kosha misukenes mehar bebechinas. Going to wedding has many spiritual tests. Especially if it's not a religious wedding. There's spiritual tests. There's things that shouldn't be looking at a wedding. Shouldn't be peeking on the lady's side when the dancing goes on. You have to know where your eyes shouldn't be looking. There's spiritual tests of gluttonizing at the never-ending smorgasbord. There's halachas of hilchas brachas that you have to know. You have to make a bracha on the food the right time. You have to remember to make a bracha achrona. It's a lot of halachas that have to happen. And there's infinite opportunities for lashon hara at a chasana. Right? So you haven't seen it in a long time. You know, infinite opportunities for lashon hara. A chasana, you know, that's the way the Yetzer works. It's such a big mitzvah. Going to chasana is such a big mitzvah. Whenever it's a big mitzvah, the Yetzer has to create equal and opposite avera opportunities to cancel out the big mitzvah that's going on. Right? So there's a million and one traps along the way when you go to a chasana. So therefore you daven to Hashem. I understand it's dangerous out there. Mevakesh ani eifo, I ask from you, shetishmaroi, see, guard me, shirei, im Hashem lo yishmor ir shav shaked shomer. So if Hashem is not watching the city, it's not going to be peaceful and quiet and rested. So you got to ask a shayla there. One more. Hunigesh l'rav lishol shayla balach v'anaga. You go to the rabbi and ask him a shayla. You got to daven also. Ovedas ki ein zedaver pasha klal l'klal shikabos etshuva mitis. It's not so simple. You're going to get the true answer from the rabbi. How do you know that the rabbi is going to get divine intervention, divine assistance, that he's able to hear the question properly, that your words come out and that you say the question properly? Remember, rabbi only has the information in front of him. What if you don't give him all the information? You forgot an important, I have this a lot of times, people ask me shows, and they omit a minor point. You know, should me and my wife go to this place? I say, well, to me it doesn't seem like you should go. They forgot to tell me they had a major fight the day before, and he's doing this to make up to the wife. He forgets to mention, look, some critical details, and then he says, Rabbi, your advice was terrible. My wife got twice out. I say, well, what about wife? Who wife? What wife? This wife? What? Well, didn't I tell you we had a big fight? You didn't tell me that. And, you know, so I'm getting better at this. I try to probe more questions. Sometimes people think I'm being I'm busybody. Why are you asking so many questions? Because people forget to tell me relevant details. So I said, why do you want to go? Why do you want to go to the movie? I tell you, my wife, we got in a big fight with my wife, and she really wants to see this movie. And then I know, okay, the Shalom Bais isn't so good in that place, and there's a lot of other issues before we're going to get to being from it movies and this and that, and then I'm going to give a different answer. But the rabbi needs siyata d'shmaya. Don't you think the rabbi has to daven before the person comes, that he should get siyata d'shmaya as well? So you have to have siyata d'shmaya. So all this follow, person's got to stop. And Eifel Kamer, he has to stop and make a prayer. Rabbeinu Shalom, I should really put this on my door before people come in. Birtzon Ledas, my dad, Hashem, I want to know what your opinion is over here. Oh, there's too much for me to talk about here. I'm going to leave this for tomorrow. Okay, I don't want to rush this. This is important. Okay, we'll continue this topic tomorrow morning.